Amen. It's been a privilege for me to know Brother Areza personally and preach with him in different places over these years. And we don't support a lot of evangelists, but we do support him and Kim, and we have for many, many years. It's been a wonderful investment. I was reading missionary letters after I got home from visiting yesterday afternoon. I was reading missionary letters and that had come in, and Brother Areza was in that stack that I was reading. And my goodness, it blessed my heart. I said something about it last night. God has given him a tremendous, fruitful year as far as souls being saved, not only here in the States, but overseas, and just has his hand on him. And I appreciate just his faithfulness to God and God's Word. And that's what I think of when I think of him. He was trained by Joe Boyd, probably the most prolific local church evangelist in my lifetime as far as just going into any size church and faithfully preaching God's Word to those people. Brother Boyd was one of his mentors, and he has really followed in his footsteps and hadn't strayed from anything that he believed years and years ago. So it's our privilege to hear him today and ask God to speak to your heart as he comes to preach. Charlotte will sing for us, and then as soon as she's done, we'll enjoy the message this morning from Brother Areza.
Oh, the wonder of wonders. Oh, that blessed my heart. Amen. Wow, wasn't that just wonderful? Praise the Lord. So good to be here today. Thank you, Brother Angel, for the invitation to come. And so happy to have my wife with me to see this wonderful church here and meet you folks here. Thank you so much for all the years of support and prayer for us. We certainly appreciate it so very, very much. Just so excited about what God's doing in our lives. Amen. He is wonderful. Amen. I heard Oliver B. Green say it, I think it was on Saturday. He said, Oliver B. Green on the radio, he said, his name is wonderful because nothing can be said about him that is not wonderful. Amen. Thank the Lord for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm just a little bit wrestling on what I'm to preach on right now. I've got a couple of messages in my Bible and on my heart, and good night, I'm just going back and forth, and I hate when I'm, you ever been in a spot like that? I think I'm ready to go, amen. I just, yes, sir, I might embarrass myself if I hear that song again, amen. You know, we have a Christmas tree that we set up every year, and I've traveled and preached all over. And one of the things that I have done through the years is I buy Christmas ornaments from places that I go. And I've got a collection of Christmas ornaments that I have given my wife and my children from all over the world, all over. From Austria, I got this little nativity set that I bought. I was with Dr. Runyon in Africa, Kenya, several years ago. And Kim has got several little nativities that she sets up. And one of them is this one that I brought from Africa. It's in a little box. It's about a 5x5x5 box. And all of the characters for the Christmas story are in that. They're made out of little sticks and little corn husks and the Jesus. You know, it's just everything. It's just a neat little thing. And when I look at my Christmas tree, it brings back a lot of memories. But when I read the Christmas story, there is so much theology and so much doctrine that just dangle from that story, the incarnation, on and on it goes. It just feeds my soul, you know. So, amen, I'm just enjoying it, amen. Take your Bibles and look with me to Luke chapter 4. Today, Luke chapter 4, I have a couple of things that I brought with me. Really, just prayer cards and radio cards are on the table back there. This year, one of the projects that we did for our local people is I have had this thought for a while. I wanted to have a Christmas songbook, a songbook that I could give away to all the local people that had all the traditional hymns, Christian Christmas hymns. So when Christmas time came around, they could sing the Christmas song with their families in their homes. So I had several businesses help me print it. I've only got just a few copies back there, but they're there for your taking. So, amen, I don't want to take any of them home, but just a little Christmas book that we gave out. We've been giving them out at the parade that we helped with last week. And then on tomorrow, we're going to be starting our radio campaign called the Christmas 12 Days of Christmas Ham Giveaway, where we're giving out 12 Christmas hams over the radio. I'm sorry, we don't send out deliveries, amen. You have to come pick it up. So I don't know if it'd be too cost effective if you used to win a ham in West Virginia and drive over and get it, amen. But anyway, we give them out, and we'll be giving out these songbooks to the local people. It's got a Christmas gospel presentation relating to the gospel and the Christmas story in the songbook. But just wanted our local people to have it, amen. And folks have liked it. They've stopped by the office and got some, and it's a neat thing there. Amen. At Christmas time is one of those times of the year when it is so easy to find a way to turn the conversation around to the gospel because everybody's minds are on Christmas and giving, and so it's a wonderful time. Amen. So we thank the Lord for it. Thank you so much for your support to us, and look over those cards. It's all there for you to grab. And I don't want one person to take 10 songbooks, amen, but there's enough for a couple of folks out there if you're interested in that. Let's all stand together, Luke chapter number 4. I want to begin reading with verse number 16, Luke chapter 4 and verse number 16. These are one of those passages of Scripture that just really are such a blessing to my heart. And we'll pick it up in the 16th verse here. The Bible says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?' And he said unto them, 'Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country.' And he said, 'Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country.'" And we'll end there. What's described in this passage here is what I call the sixfold ministry of Jesus. I was preaching in Georgia, preaching from this text, and there was a lady that was in that service there, and we had gone by, the preacher had gone by her house and visited her, and we didn't want to see her husband. He wasn't there, and talked to her son. And they came to the Sunday service the next day, and preaching from this text. Sunday night she came back, and she said to me, "I never knew. I never knew that's why Jesus came." Remember, I was preaching the sixfold ministry of Jesus. This passage here tells us exactly why Jesus came. And she said, "I never knew. I never knew that that's why Jesus came. I knew that he came, but I never knew why he came." She says, "I was so excited when I read that, when I saw that in the Bible, that this is why Jesus came." She says, "I went home and I read it to my husband. I asked him, 'Did you know why Jesus came?' Well," she said, "well, the Bible tells us why he came." So she read it to him. And then she says, "I read it a couple of more times." And she was telling me that night, she says, "I never knew why Jesus came." And you know what? There might be somebody here today that you didn't know why Jesus came, really the full scope of his ministry. So I just want to remind you, amen, why Jesus came. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Our Father, we're so thankful and grateful for your abundant blessings upon our life. We're thankful for Brother Angel and a wonderful church here, Lord, Faith Baptist. We just pray now that you'll bless the service today, speak to our hearts. And Lord, no way in the world I know what everybody's going through here, but we know that you do. So we pray that you'll take these words and encourage each and every one of us. Strengthen our faith today. Lord, strengthen our faith in the Word of God and the ministry of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he came to do. We just pray now, Lord, that you'd save the lost, reclaim the backslider, revive us, strengthen us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you so much for standing with me. We know that Jesus was about 30 years old when all of this was taking place. His baptism is recorded in the previous chapter, and it says this, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age," and that's in chapter 3 and verse number 23. So we know that he was right at about 30 years of age when all of this was taking place, and I want you to just grasp with me a little bit this morning the context of the story. In the first chapter, in the first verse of this chapter here, it says this, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan
and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. So we know that Jesus had just come off of a 40-day fast, and he had faced Satan's temptations in the wilderness, and at every single temptation that the Lord Jesus faced, he defeated Satan, Lucifer, the devil, the accuser of the brethren, with the Word of God. So every time we are faced with temptation, we need to understand that we defeat the devil and we overcome temptation with the Word of God. That's why you commit verses to memory. Amen. That's why you memorize it. Amen. That's why you consciously remind yourself, when I am tempted of these things, this is what I know I'm going to tell myself to do. Amen. Defeat it with the Word of God. Amen. Now, look what happens next, or listen to what happens next. I'm reading verse number 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And look what happens next. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. Is it any wonder why he returned in the power of the Spirit? He had just come off of a 40-day fast. Amen. Prayer and fasting. Amen. He returned in the power of the Spirit. Why there went out a fame throughout all the region. Prayer and fasting equals the power of the Spirit. And the power of the Spirit is a promotional campaign of a supernatural kind. Amen. He has come out of the wilderness, and his journey has takes him now to the region of Galilee. Many of you know this, but the promised land is divided into three different provinces: Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. Galilee constitutes the whole northern section of the country and is the largest of the three. That's spoken about in Acts chapter number 9. Now listen to Luke chapter 4 verse 15. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. So this is one of the first times that we see Jesus taking this position in the synagogue. Now the story moves us to a synagogue in the city of Nazareth. Remember, Nazareth is where he grew up. And it's important to note the difference in reaction of the audience from the Nazareth where he grew up and then in the other place there mentioned in verse number 15. Listen to verse number 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. But this is a little bit different. He stood up to read. Verse 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, we know that Jesus took the book of Isaiah, and he turned it to the 61st chapter, which we know it as, the 61st chapter, in the first verse. And he begins to read out loud to the Jews that were gathered there in the synagogue from that passage. And once Jesus finished with the reading, notice what happens next. In verse 20, he says, and he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister, and sat down, and all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. So he walks in, he reads this passage from Isaiah, and then he doesn't say anything. He closes the book, he gives it to the minister, and he goes over and he sits down. And the Bible says, there was something that was occurring at that place on that day different than any other day. They knew it. They sensed it. And all their eyes were locked upon the Son of God. They were on Him. Amen. And the Bible says in verse number 21, and He began to say unto them, this day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears. So what was the Lord Jesus saying to the people that were in attendance? He is saying this, what Isaiah prophesied to happen is happening right now at this very moment. The prophecy of the coming Messiah, the coming of the Anointed One of God, the prophecy that was given by Isaiah over 700 years earlier was occurring, was developing, was happening before their very eyes. And everyone in attendance, everyone observing the happenings of Luke chapter 4, verse 20, were eyewitnesses to the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. We know it as Isaiah 61. So here we have this one from Galilee, the carpenter's son, he is known as. He is claiming Messiahship. And he is declaring at the present moment that the Spirit of God is upon him and that he is the anointed one, anointed with the Holy Ghost, the promised Messiah. And his ministry is explained sixfold. Here in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 18, it gives a sixfold ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while he was here, he fulfilled these prophecies. We play Brother Roloff on the radio. I love to hear Brother Roloff preach. I love you. Think that Brother Roloff was watching the news, or he would never watch the news, amen, but he was reading the paper and was preaching on it every day. And his sermons are so relevant, even though they were recorded back in the 60s and 70s. They're so relevant because truth never goes out of date. Amen, it never does. And I've heard Brother Roloff open up his program with these words here, this little song. The strangers to God, His grace and His love were gathered by blue Galilee. I wish I could sing it like Brother Roloff sang it. Amen. I love to hear him sing that little song. The strangers to God, His grace and His love were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to the words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul. And He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. Whoever wrote those words and put the tune to it is unknown to us. But they really describe why Jesus came. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord Jesus Christ is claiming because He hath anointed me. And He says, first of all, to preach, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's why He came, to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, the poor today, it's not like the poor of yesteryear. Amen. But we still have the poor, because the poor simply is anybody who is in need. Amen. And as a matter of fact, the Bible explains to us, for you have the poor always with you. Those that are in destitute of daily provisions, anybody that is in need. Amen. I remember one of my friends in West Union, he pastors the Crimson River Baptist Church, has got a ministry called the Father's Hand, and he helps people that are in need. The school district came to Brother Denver and said, there's a young man and his family, they don't receive charity, but we know that they're in need. Would you talk to him and see if we could find out anything that would make their Christmas happy, that would just fill their Christmas with joy? So the preacher talked to the young man, and the little boy said this to the preacher. He said, I tell you what would make me happy, preacher, if I could have my own blanket. If I could have my own blanket, our house is cold in the wintertime, and if I could have my own blanket, it would just be a great Christmas. The truth is, you do have the poor always with you. Amen. And listen, Jesus Himself declared, when you have the preaching of the gospel going out to the poor, it is a miracle. Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. The Bible says, secondly, he came to heal the brokenhearted. Now, I want you to think about that passage just a moment. Think about what he's saying, to heal the brokenhearted. You know that we are preaching to a lot of brokenhearted people. Brokenhearted. What in the world? What is it that breaks a person's heart? Think about those words. That word, when you trace it through the language behind the King James Bible, it literally means shattered. It means a heart that has been violently crushed. A heart that has been shattered like a fractured bone, a fractured leg. And you know, a fractured bone, it'll never heal properly itself. And the leg, the bone, has to be put back together. A physician has to put that bone, that broken bone, back together for it to heal properly. And we're talking to people today that have a broken heart. There are things that happen in life that are crushing to us. They are just violently crushing people that are overcome with sorrow. People that have crushing disappointment. Everywhere you go, you find people that have broken hearts, broken, crushing grief, crushing anguish. And it's caused by many things. What are causing these broken hearts today? You ask. Crushing pain of distress. The weary and trying of sickness and humiliating loss. What is causing the broken hearts of people all over the world today? It's divorce and illness and deception and betrayal. The loss of a loved one, a child, a parent, a friend, a wayward spouse, a wayward child, a wayward parent. Nobody to talk to. Isn't it amazing that they say some of the loneliest people living today are millennials? Some of the loneliest people today living are millennials. Hey, listen, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, amen. Hey, those that have nobody to talk to, those that are feeling that nobody cares, feeling that it's the end of the world, they have dealt with all kinds of abuse problems at an early age, effects that will lead them into sin and debauchery and wickedness and promiscuity. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to heal people that their hearts have been broken because of verbal abuse that they have experienced and sexual abuse and physical abuse and people that are subject to hate and wrath and death and abandonment and abortion and war. These things all shatter people's hearts. They break the heart. And there is no force on earth that can heal a broken heart. That's why Jesus came. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Hearts that are healed are very valuable. You know, if you have a bone that's broken, the very materials that it takes to repair that broken bone, like materials like titanium, my goodness, you could take those materials that it takes to break a broken bone and you could buy a decent car. Amen. It's precious when these bones, these things, or you have a broken tooth or anything like that, the materials that it takes to break those things that have been broken. And my friend, what it takes, what it took Jesus, what He paid to break a broken heart, it's absolutely priceless. Amen. It's priceless. That's why Jesus came. The more it's broken, the more pieces, the material, like gold and titanium, it takes to heal it, the more valuable it becomes. All of a sudden, it inherits intrinsic value. Amen. Because of the materials that it takes to repair broken hearts. Oh, thank God. Why did Jesus come? He came to heal the brokenhearted. We have one that stood in our place. The Bible says, and He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Amen. Thank God. Hey, listen, when we get saved, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, amen, indwells us. We are indwelt by the Holy Ghost of God. And He's the one that gives us hope. Amen. And then in our hearts, we can cry out like Romans 8 says, Abba, Father, I've got a Heavenly Father that I can go to. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. Amen. Oh, listen, what causes broken hearts? Dysfunctional families. How we see our earthly fathers and mothers, our parents here. If it was a violent way, a lot of times we transfer over to our Heavenly Father. But you got it all wrong. Amen. Why did Jesus come? Why did He come? He came to preach the gospel to the poor. Why did He come? He came to heal the brokenhearted. Amen. Hey, listen, we cry out, Abba, Father. God loves us as much as He loves Jesus Christ. Amen. He can break those mental strongholds. Praise God. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And I'm sure I'm talking to somebody right now. You've never expressed it to anybody. But listen, your heart has been broken. And Jesus came. Like that girl said, I never knew. I never knew that's why He came. She said, I got so excited, I went home and I read it to my husband. And then I read it again. And she came back Sunday night and she said, I didn't know that's why Jesus came. I'm telling you, that's why He came. He came to heal a broken heart. Amen. Broken hearts filled with God's love, God's peace, God's joy, God's power, the Spirit of life in Christ. Amen. Jesus will always, always make a way. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Can I get an amen on that one? Praise the Lord. Look what He did. Look what He did. Look at the next verse. He came to preach deliverance to the captives. Amen. In other words, those that are enslaved, those that are in bondage. And it could be any number of things. Those that are enslaved in bondage because of intoxicating beverage, because of drugs, because of anger. Listen, this whole nation right now is in, it's in a turmoil with this opioid addiction. In every little country town I know of in West Virginia, they say it's terrible. They tell me the same thing about the towns here in Illinois. They tell me the same thing about the towns in Pennsylvania and Maryland and Ohio and Kentucky and Tennessee. It's everywhere. Well, I'll tell you why Jesus came. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He came to preach deliverance to the captives. Amen. Those that have been in bondage because of rage and because of guilt and because of all kinds of ungodly indulgences. That's why Jesus came. Amen. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to preach deliverance to the captives. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That's why Jesus came. I don't remember who it was I was talking to. I was talking to Brother Marty. I remember Brother Marty Montgomery. I preached with him recently down in the capital here of your state. And we were talking about the GSAs that we had here those years between Bourbonnais and Dwight. My son, Oliver, got saved at one of those GSAs. It was the same night Brother Randy Taylor and Brother Keith Gomez were supposed to preach. I don't remember if it happened here or there. Maybe somebody can help me grasp where this all happened. Brother Taylor preached first, and before he even ended his sermon, the power of God came into that place. And I remember people began to flood to the altars to get right. My son got saved that night. Brother Gomez never even preached. He couldn't preach. It was evident that this is what the Lord wanted. And there was a man that attended that meeting. His name was Don Gott. He was a member of the church in Lamont, Illinois, when Brother Steve Swerga pastored that church. I went and held a meeting for Brother Steve when he pastored there later on that year, and I saw Brother Don Gott. I remember he was a big, tall, stately man. Reminded me a little bit about Joe Boyd, just so tall, broad shoulders, just a handsome, wore these fine business suits. I remember I'd sit on the platform with Brother Steve, and when it'd be time to the time to give the offering, Brother Gott would reach in his pocket, and I'm telling you, he'd pull out a wad of cash that was that thick like that. I started praying, oh God, tell him to give it all. Give it all, Lord, give it all. But I don't think he ever did. Well, I went soul winning with him during that week, and Brother Don Gott told me this story. He said, Brother Oliver, you remember that GSA? I said, yes, sir. He said, I got saved years ago, and I can remember so many times when I tried to give up alcohol, give up liquor, but I just could never get over it. I'd give it up, and I'd go back to it. He said, but that night, he said, as a matter of fact, it's the first time I ever remember crying. I was raised in a home where my father said, we don't cry. Crying is a sign of weakness. You don't cry. You don't show that emotion.
He said, but when the power of God came into that service, I was moved. And I went to the front and I cried out to God, God, please deliver me. Deliver me. And he said, I wept. First time I remember weeping like that. And he says, it's inexplainable. He said, from that point on, he said, the very smell of it would make me so nauseous that I had to get far from the smell of it. And God delivered me. Now, I'm not against any program that helps people do that. But I'm here to tell you this morning, he came to preach deliverance to the captives. That's why Jesus came. Amen. He said he came to set at liberty them that are bruised. Amen. These are what I would apply to mean people that have had inner hurts. You know, a lot of times a bruise is, it could be surface or it could be an inner bruise. I remember when I was a boy, I had a stone bruise. Man, I'd walk. We went barefooted all the time. And man, I'd walk and I'd step on my foot a certain way and it would hurt. I told my dad about it. I said, I don't see anything there. He said, son, you got an inside bruise. You got an inner bruise. You got a stone bruised. A stone bruise. And there are people today that have stone bruises. They've got inner bruises. They've got inner hurts. And they won't ever talk about them. But they got hurt in some way. They got their feelings hurt. They got their feelings bruised. Maybe because of family issues. Maybe because of, a lot of times people get hurt within the church. Things happen. Decisions are made. They get bruised. A lot of times people, they don't know the whole story. When a decision is made, they don't understand all the details behind it. And they're never going to get all the details behind it. And it seemed like a decision was harsh. And they get their feelings hurt. And they get their family out of church. Well, the Bible said Jesus came to set at liberty them that are bruised. And then he came, finally, to preach acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. Now, when you compare Isaiah 61 and this passage here, it's almost like Jesus stopped right in the middle of a sentence. Because what Jesus came is expressing his ministry here in this New Testament era. Amen. All the other things that happened go into when he begins to deal particularly with the Jewish people. That this message is not really, we don't have the time to go into that. But he is coming back. And this is what he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And if you study that in the Greek, it says, for the last Donald Trump. Amen. Oh, I'm just kidding, all right? For the trumpet shall sound, and that really means for the trumpet shall tweet, okay? And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen. We shall be changed. Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. That's why Jesus came. That's why when I sing these Christmas songs and I enjoy this Christmas season and it's all about Jesus, amen, my heart is full. I just have a hard time containing it. My eyes leak, amen. It just stirs me so much. And I just think about that little lady. I didn't know that's why Jesus came. I never knew that. And I wonder how many brokenhearted people will never know that Jesus came to heal their broken heart. And on we go. That's why Jesus came. Now, would you let the sixfold ministry of Jesus, would you let him minister to you right now? In one of these ways, I'm sure every one of us needs some help. We need a touch. We need some help. That's why he came. Don't let his coming be in vain. Let his sixfold ministry touch you. And no doubt the Holy Ghost of God has already dealt in your heart. You already know exactly what it is that you needed and how your faith needed to be strengthened in that area. Won't you let him do it? Amen. Because that's why he came.
I wonder this morning how many of you could say, Brother Oliver, I know that I'm saved. I can go back to a time and place where I know that I called upon Christ to be my Savior, and I know I'm saved. Would you lift your hand up as a testimony? If you're happy about that, how about a good hearty amen?
Yes.
Isn't it wonderful to be saved?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. It is. Now, don't lie about that. Good night. Listen, the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Don't lie about your spiritual condition. If you need to be saved, Jesus came to save you. Amen. Don't let His first coming be in vain. I want us to stand together, shall we? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed as we go to prayer. Let me ask you some questions before we go to prayer. I wonder this morning, others would say, Preacher, would you pray for me in the sixfold ministry of Jesus? When I look at all of the reasons why Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised, I believe I received this morning, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. And the sixfold ministry of Jesus, well, His balm blessed my heart this morning. Lift your hand up real high. Let me see your hand lifted up. That's why Jesus came. That's why He came. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder this morning who today would say, Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not even a Christian. If something tragic were to happen to me, I don't even know for sure that I would go to heaven. I don't know it for sure. But I want to go to heaven. I believe in Jesus. I believe in His death and burial and resurrection. And I want to know in my heart that I'm saved. And I believe that God is speaking to my heart about being saved. I want to be saved. God's speaking to me about it. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand up real high this morning and let me have a prayer for you? Lift your hand up real high and let me see that hand. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else, pray for me, Preacher. I need to be saved and I want to be saved. All right, go ahead and put your hands down. Thank you so much. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder, would there be maybe a backslider here this morning? You've gotten far out of God's will. The people that you work with, people that you live with, they don't even know that you're saved. They don't even associate you as being a Christian. And you say, Preacher, this morning I need to rededicate my life afresh and anew to God. I've gotten far out of God's will, and I need to rededicate my life back to God. Pray for me. Would you lift it up real high and let me pray for you? Lift it up real high. There's one. Others, there's two, there's three. Thank you so much. Wonderful, good. Go ahead and put your hands down. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to ask the Lord's blessing. Before we do that, let me ask you this. Would there be others that say, Preacher, I've been saved and baptized, but I've never been baptized. Or saved and never been baptized. I'm sorry, I've been saved, but I've never followed the Lord in baptism. And I need to get baptized and show Jesus my love to Him. Could I see your hand lifted up real high? Anybody like that? I need to be baptized. God bless you, young lady. Wonderful. Amen. And then with our heads bowed and eyes closed, who today would say, Preacher, I've been saved and baptized, but I'm not a member of a good Bible-preaching church. And would you pray for me? I need to get my family, me and my family, back in church. Anybody like that? Lift your hand up real high and let me have a prayer for you. Anybody like that? All right. All right, wonderful. Now, there were other hands raised for many reasons. Would you let the Lord Jesus, would you let His ministry touch you today? Because that's why He came. I'm going to ask the Lord's a blessing on this invitation. As soon as I say amen, our instruments are going to play for us. Those that need to be saved, you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to come join the church. Maybe you need prayer because you're rededicating your life to the Lord. All of those things are big things. Not a one of them are just not insignificant, not important. They all are important. Important enough for you to respond to. And that's what this invitation is for. Father, we come now in the precious name of Jesus and we give Him thanks and praise and glory for coming, for the reasons why He came. Dear God, help us to revel. Help us to enjoy these, dear God. Help us, Lord, to experience, Lord, Lord, deliverance and freedom in Christ and the joy of salvation. Lord, the healing of the distresses of life. Lord, may you just help us to be the bold witnesses, Lord, as you came to preach the gospel to the poor. Help us to be your mouthpieces, we pray. Bless this invitation. Be honored and pleased in it. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays for us, and you raise your hand for any of these reasons, you come right now. You find a place here at the altar. Many hands were raised. You come. You need to rededicate. You need to be baptized. Would you come and let's have prayer about that right now? God bless you. Good. Wonderful. Would you come? That's why Jesus came.
Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Let obey the Lord this morning. Do whatever God tells you to do. And I like the thrust of his invitation. Would you let Jesus minister to you through one of the ways that he came? If you have one of those inner bruises, those inner hurts, you've never discussed to anybody, but it torments you, my friend, Jesus came to give you liberty from that. Just give deliverance to the captives. I love it. I'm just like Brother Areza. I don't have a bone to pick with these organizations that help people overcome addictions, but brother, salvation and the preaching of God's word, you can't get any better than that right there. Getting saved and getting in the book, letting Jesus deliver you. Would you come? The singer is singing the song, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, Touch My Heart." Some have come to be baptized. Would you come this morning if you're not sure that you're saved or need to be baptized? You do what the Lord leads you to do while we wait.
Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Thank you.